Eriksen's corner. Kane got up! And Tottenham have turned it around again!
The Fantasy Football Show. December 2016, Thursday the 1st, 5:45 p.m. A couple of weeks ago, my governor at work asked me if I was worried about the Harry Kane contract negotiations. I wasn't, not one little bit. I told him Harry had already signed 3 contract extensions inside the last 2 years and he would inevitably sign another new one to take him to the top of our wage bill. Rumours had surfaced that Harry had halted negotiations after Spurs had reportedly offered him a wage lower than what Moussa Sissoko earns. It's poor journalism, and unfortunately, Harry is a headline story. Firstly, I very much doubt that Sissoko is on £90,000 a week, as reported. Does anyone really believe Daniel Levy would have sanctioned that? Okay, let's say for argument's sake that Sissoko is on that wage. Do you believe Harry would have been offered less? I never wrote about it when the story broke because it was irrelevant gossip and that holds no interest to me. I would rather deal with the facts, and they are that today Harry put pen to paper on said new contract, and that may make him the club's first £100,000 a week earner. The only way Harry won't stay at Spurs for the long term is if the club can't challenge or match his ambitions. The club will only entertain bids if Harry wants to go. 100 million would get turned down. I genuinely believe that because he is the one who the fans would lose their shit over if he was sold. He's one of our own. And when Harry says he wants to become a legend at our club, I genuinely believe him. This is his club. And if he stays at Spurs for the next 10 years or so, he may smash every goal scoring record that we have had and become a genuine legend. He has plenty of room for improvement. He can yet become a yard faster, gain strength and improve his awareness. But we love Harry. Guaranteed goals, and I wouldn't swap him for anyone. He's ours, and it means so much more to see him smash the ball into the net. He's a key reason why we love this club again. No more watching the likes of Emmanuel Adebayor float around the pitch like he couldn't give a shit. We have Harry, a wholehearted striker who gives everything and wants us to achieve great things. He will, I'm certain, go on to not only captain us regularly, but England as well. He has the temperament and the ability to achieve everything in the game, and there is no reason that he can't see it through and achieve his goals with us. Friday the 2nd, 5:45 p.m. We seem to like to do new contracts in groups. Super Jan is the latest to put pen to paper on a new deal today. Jan has played well in Toby's absence, but the return of his Belgian partner can't come soon enough. They're a great pair, but there are so many attributes that Toby has that we have missed. His presence, determination, leadership, calmness and distribution. Toby is the dog's bollocks, recently voted by 442 as the best defender in the league, and rightly so. He's back in training and are possible to take part against Swansea tomorrow. But I have my concerns with Poch admitting that there are still issues with the nerve injury suffered by Toby. You worry about that. A nerve injury could be long-lasting and may not go away ever in its entirety. Fingers crossed that Toby returns at the peak of his powers, and I certainly wouldn't risk him tomorrow if there is any doubt. Tomorrow is a must-win as we host Swansea indoors. I feel like we desperately need a big performance and result in front of our crowd to keep the whiners at bay. Those who are beginning to doubt Pochettino and this team need to be quietened. The idiots who believe all they read in the papers and hear on the web. A good news story is not a story for the majority. There is a mindless pack who will go ape if we don't win against a team fighting the drop. It is what it is. I'm not one to get carried away at a great result or lose faith suddenly over a bad one. After we beat City in what was widely acclaimed as the best performance by any side in the league this season, I was calm. I'm still calm now, despite only one win in all competitions in the 2 months since. This is the time to get behind the players, and I keep saying that it is games like tomorrow that will be pivotal to where we end up at the end of the season. I don't think Swansea will go down. They look fucked defensively, but have got some good options going forward as illustrated by their seesaw 5-4 win against Palace last week. Gylfi Sigurdsson remains the only player I truly regret selling since Poch took over and is a threat, but we have to put teams like this away. There can be no excuses tomorrow. Saturday the 3rd, 5:10 p.m. 5-0, good win. Satisfactory performance. Couldn't ask for more. completely dominant from start to finish against an admittedly woeful Swansea. But that is what you have to do against sides of this ilk, put them away and do so impressively. The manner of the win will sweep a good feeling back through the football club, and that was important. We were patient, committed, pressed well and played with a freedom not seen since the victory over City 2 months ago. We also looked fitter, a bonus perhaps of having a free week to prepare, but Delhi was sharp and was always a willing runner, looking to support Harry, who also looked back to full fitness. Harry scored twice, as did an improved Christian Eriksen, who was much better and a threat, which is all I ask really. Sonny too was a menace and his movement off the ball was terrific. His well-taken goal, a second right on half-time, was the game's standout individual moment and took the game out of the Swans' reach. I head off to the pub most pleased, with no thought to even look at the league table, although it's worth noting that we would start and end this weekend in fifth, immaterial of other results. But that's okay. 27 points from 14 played is alright, and our goal difference also looks far better after today's heavy win. My day started with a hot lemon drink, such was how badly I felt this morning. I still feel rough, but certainly buoyed by an impressive Spurs. Now I'm off for a hot whiskey. Monday the 5th, 5:55 p.m. It's fascinating to see how the media will portray something to suit an agenda. Delhi cheated to win the penalty for our opener on Saturday. At the time, way down at the other end in front of the Park Lane, the decision felt soft to me. Referee John Moss blew and then took an age to decide if he would award a spot kick. He did eventually, and there is no argument from me that Delhi conned Moss by hanging a leg out to make contact with our former fullback Cole Norton. Could Swansea feel aggrieved by the decision after Harry drilled in the penalty to put us in front? Of course, if it was given against us, I would have been livid. Then again, inside the opening 10 minutes, Neil Taylor damn near decapitated Kyle Walker with a challenge so high that a martial arts expert would have been proud of the connection. Taylor was not even booked. Why do I mention this? Because it's an eye for an eye, if you will. Had they been reduced to 10 men that early, we could have been looking at getting double figures. The fact that we won 5-0 rendered Taylor's challenge inconsequential, and instead the focus was on Delhi for his dive. Let me again be clear, I'm never proud when one of my players pulls out theatrics to deceive, but in this instance, no matter the result of the two decisions, we would have smashed Swansea either way. We had 29 shots, they had one. We had 15 on target, they had none. We completely dismantled them and the front four played with an energy and freedom not seen for some time. Sonny's hooked half volley on the stroke of half time was a thing of beauty, but I took more pleasure from the third, an incisive move with pace and movement. The doctor won the ball as he does and fed Harry on the halfway line. First time he laid it back to Christian, who in turn played forwards again, first time to Delhi, who played Sonny in behind, again first time. Beautiful with the front four, all involved with precision and movement. This is what we've been missing. Sonny drove on and tried to check back inside onto his weaker left foot, Lord knows why. But Harry was arriving on the scene and I think I shouted goal before he even hit the thing. It was great to see Harry back up play, continuing to follow up despite it looking like nothing would catch the Korean. As the ball came back his way, he strode onto the ball perfectly. It reminded me of how Teddy Sheringham used to do that with ease to score for us years ago. Teddy was such a clever player, a thinker, a player of real intelligence who had an incredible knack of knowing where to be. As Harry pulled back that lethal right foot with a final stride, a goal was certain, and down below me it was a picturesque moment to watch. You know you have one hell of a player when you know he is going to score. The net bulged before Lucas Fabianski had dived, 3-0 and game over. It was nice for a change to spend nearly half a game knowing we had won and to just enjoy it. There were further goals, both scored by Christian. His first and our fourth was a shade embarrassing after he ducked out of a header, but still managed to bundle the ball in from a yard after Delhi had been denied by Fabianski. The fifth was the Eriksen we love, however, as he supported a great out-to-in run by sub Sissoko and received the ball before drilling into the corner. Hopefully these three goals in the last two will finally see him kick on and regain confidence. For all the criticism, and I have been heavily critical, we are still, as we stand, a much better side with Christian on song than we would be without him. This was better, and let's hope it continues, not just from the Dane, but from the whole side going forward. Wednesday the 7th, 5:15 p.m. An early departure from work can mean only one thing. Champions League Wednesday at Wembley. Yay, or rather, yawn. If you're keeping score, you will know that we are already out, no matter the result this evening, and the game is in the Champions League in name only. Tonight is effectively a Europa League qualifier and there will be another 60,000 plus on hand to see it. Spurs' decision to sell the group stage fixtures as a package and well in advance is beginning to look a masterstroke. There will be plenty in attendance tonight because they can't get rid of their ticket, even at the affordable price they paid for it. Nearly a full house again for a Europa League qualifier. Must be another attendance record broken there. A draw or better tonight and we qualify for Thursday night club in the Europa League. A defeat and we exit European competition altogether. There is a debate to be had on whether losing would be a good thing. Firstly, I never want to see my team lose in any competition ever. We play, then we should play to win. I can't buy into the idea that losing is ever a good thing, but I do accept Thursday nights in the Europa League causes many problems. The legend that is Bill Nicholson once said that our club is nothing without European football, and when you look at the history of our club, it's hard to disagree. So much of what we know and have learned about Spurs have been about the glory nights. A history of over 20 years playing European football, but only two of those seasons were spent under the lights of the lane in the elite competition of the European Cup or Champions League. Much of that history has been spent in the Europa League or UEFA Cup, as we all wish it was still called. The revamp and name change in the noughties has been a disaster, and playing on Thursday nights before the Premier League on a Sunday is a ball ache. But it is also a competition that should we enter it, we will be amongst the front runners to win. Again, I say again, because we have only reached the last eight on two occasions in the last 10 years, despite what feels like an annual attempt to win the thing. We reached the last eight of the Champions League in our first attempt in 10-11. The Europa League is arduous work. Everyone plays us like their life depends on it. But you have to rotate the squad. There is only one way to treat the thing, in my opinion. You play a second string team until the quarterfinals and then assess the situation. Where are we in the league? That would be the first question. Outside the top four, then go all out to win it. Be in a position to win the league and then the rotation should continue. Tonight we will get a mixture, but for me, no one who is going to have to put a serious shift in on a Sunday at Old Trafford should play. So the front six would be no more than on the bench, and the same applies to the fullbacks. My team tonight would be Michel in goal, Big Kev at left back, allow Jan to play with a returning Toby to rekindle their formidable partnership, and Kieran at right back. Eric Dier and Winksy ahead with GK, Josh and Sissoko in the three attacking midfield slots and perhaps Shaun Harrison up front. It won't be that weak up front, I suspect, and I accept why, but at this stage Europa is meaningless. I genuinely would love to win it. Every season only two teams can win a European trophy and it has been far too long since we won one. It also now means automatic qualification into the following Champions League campaign if you are victorious. So there is a carrot on the end of the stick at least. Problem is, the competition needs managing so carefully. For illustration, I'm delighted that United play Thursday night in the Ukraine before they host us on Sunday. That is an advantage for us going into Sunday's big game. But so often that has been us in that position, suffering a long arduous journey before coming home for an away game. It is hard on the modern player, it genuinely is. We've played two teams from Ukraine, for example, Shakhtar 2009, Dnipro 2014, in the last 32 of the Europa, which is an absolute disaster in terms of travel, and the competition has to be managed depending on who you draw. Hopefully we will get through and get someone in France or Holland, for example, which is no worse than going to the north of England in terms of travel for the players. And then you can mix and match with team selection, which is easier because, as we know from an attacking point of view, we do not have the depth to cope with injuries and fatigue. Another good reason to win tonight is, of course, the whole Wembley thing. The headline after tonight's game needs to be Tottenham win at Wembley. No matter the team we select, we should be winning. The Russians can't just sit back if they themselves have aims to reach Europa. They need to win, and in any case, they are shit. A mid-table Premier League side at best. I'm thinking the level of, say, Stoke City. The Monaco game at Wembley was an event. The Bayer game was big, and yet we lost both. Tonight is just another game, and we have to be realistic about that. Relax and play and give our supporters like me something to go home happy about. It appears currently that if we do advance to the Europa tonight, then we will continue to play the European games at Wembley. I hate this for several reasons. Firstly, and of course mainly, I want the games to be at the Lane. To have European nights at our home one last time, there is nothing better than a night game at the Lane. And as it stands, next Wednesday against Hull City could, in theory, be the last time we kick off at the Lane in darkness and under the lights. Hull City, for fuck's sake. I do, however, understand the idea of continuing at Wembley, as much as I'm beginning to resent the place. There is a very good reason to carry on. This curse of not winning there has to be dispelled long before the new season kicks off, when next year every home game will be at Wembley. This shit journey on the tube, the wait to get back on at Wembley Park Station at full time, it is all the worse if you are not winning games, and whether we like it or not, we have got to get used to this. Walking back down Wembley Way having won would bloody help. The team needs to feel the love of winning in the stadium before it becomes a psychological barrier. Next year we must be winning most of our games here. That has to happen. So the idea of staying here, familiarising ourselves as a unit, players and fans, is reluctantly probably the right thing to do in preparation for next season. If we can learn to win here, it will begin to feel homelier. It will never be home. I resent that I hate this shit journey and feel negative about Wembley before I even get there. Winning will help. You may even grow into liking the place, and it is also a good barometer for moving into the new stadium. Because unlike other sides who move stadium who feel like they're leaving home, by the time we get there, we feel like a relief and that we are going back home. The negatives we may all feel towards the new stadium are likely to all be forgotten after 20 plus journeys to Wembley in 9 months. No matter how many of our fans are in the ground, it won't be home, ever. I really want to win tonight, and there are so many reasons to want to do so. Entry into a competition that with the right draws we would be capable of winning, and an opportunity to keep the whole squad happy and playing. We may get to see more of our future stars, like Marcus Edwards for example, and we may even win some games at Wembley. We also certainly will not play anyone in the competition this season as good as the Borussia Dortmund who eliminated us last year. Let's get in and see how we get on. That's the plan in my mind anyway. 10:50 p.m. That's better, Spurs. Thank you. On the way home from Wembley, and we enjoyed it. A convincing 3-1 win secured and our ticket in the Thursday night club confirmed. We even recovered from going a goal behind despite having regular chances from start to finish. I couldn't believe it as the opener went in, and I'm sure no one else could. You're sitting there thinking, surely not again. But to be fair, the lads responded well and had turned it around by half time. The equaliser was well taken from Dele. He controlled a cross, I think from Christian. I want to say Christian, because he was excellent all night and therefore credit where it's due. And Dele, whose finishing still needs some work, curled beautifully into the far corner after working the angle so well. A roar of relief from around Wembley, a goal to cheer that was more than just a consolation. Albeit, celebrations were never going to get wild tonight. But it was another roar on the stroke of half-time as we went ahead. Christian again played a lovely ball inside the fullback, and Danny was in behind as he so often is, and played an undefendable first-time cross on the half-volley across the six-yard box that left Harry, who else, with the simplest of tasks of tapping home. We played well, and it was better to come as the second half went much the same way as Saturday's second period against Swansea. Complete domination and a succession of chances and neat play. Spurs were enjoying themselves, playing with freedom, intensity and creativity. This was good, and yet the only goal we added was bizarre, to say the least. Harry played in a beautiful cross from the right, and Dele was there 10 yards out, centre of goal, but headed straight at the Russian keeper, who saved going backwards, and was always going to struggle to get up in time for any rebound, so he tried to volley the ball away, and volley it he did, straight into the net. Some mothers do have them. 3-1, and the only misgivings are that we didn't win by more, but then having seen our team, victory seemed inevitable. 3-1, and the only misgivings are that we didn't win by more, but then having seen our team, victory seemed inevitable. Only one change from the weekend, with Winksy giving the doctor a rest. No fucking about. I'm not sure this was a reflection of Poch's ideas for how seriously he would treat the Europa, more that I think he felt we had to win tonight because of the Wembley thing. This will only help our confidence. We also got to see a cameo from a returning Toby who is back, fit and I'm sure ready for Sunday. Loudest the ground got, the sight of Ledley at half time coming out to have a brief chat. Oh, Ledley, Ledley. He bowed back at us in gratitude as his name boomed around Wembley. For a moment, it almost felt like home. Sunday 11th, 1:30 p.m. Team news is in. Toby starts with Eric Dier missing out. We start with our big four spine of Hugo, Toby, the Doctor and Harry for only the second time this season. It's Manchester United away and of course a big game. We go with renewed confidence and a win would give us a 9-point buffer over United who sit sixth. It would also take us above City on goal difference into fourth after they were beaten 4-2 at Leicester yesterday. What a chance this is against a stuttering United who seem to have picked up our own syndrome of too many draws. Yet they still have on paper a hugely talented side, and if we underperform, we will most likely get beat. but I fancy this. Everyone bar Lamella is available and we can't be frightened of these games anymore. Yes, a draw would be acceptable in the right circumstances, but we have to believe we can be better and see them off on their turf. We are certainly capable, and having that spine that I spoke of back together is hugely important. If we can keep it fit, then anything is possible. A prediction? Probably a draw, because both sides have so many of them, but certainly believing we can win. Wednesday the 14th, 5:40 p.m. It's been a long old week. Friday I got out of my box drunk after a long week at work, and that made Saturday a write-off. I watched Watford beat Everton 3-2 on the telly, Arsenal beat Stoke 3-1 on my phone, and Leicester beat a faltering Man City 4-2 on the laptop. Yet in those 7 hours I can't recall moving, I even let the other half watch the final of the Extra Shit Factor, and breakfast was a late night dinner from the hut. By the time Sunday came round, I was still feeling somewhat worse for wear as I made my way to the boozer for our 2:15 p.m. kickoff at Old Trafford. I wouldn't say I wasn't up for it, but I wasn't up for drinking or singing. I kind of felt like I watched the game alone despite being in a crowd, and this was more surprising considering I was moved to confidence upon seeing Toby back in the team at the expense of the unfortunate Eric Dyer. The big four of our spine, Hugo, Toby, the Doctor and Harry all started together for only the second time, and that had me believing a win was possible. There were chances for both sides, but ultimately our 1-0 defeat was deserved as United had the better of the majority. It was a tame defeat. Beaten by a first half goal scored by the game's best player, Henrik Mkhitaryan, after Harry had given the ball away and Ander Herrera had sent the Armenian clear. I've seen worse from Spurs, but I've seen plenty better. The defeat felt soft. We weren't terrible and there was no lack of effort, but I think we could have played until midnight and not scored. None of the front four inspired belief that they could make something happen, and again, this was a story of a lack of quality in the final third. Dele is the one I have sympathy for. He produced miracles last season and people are so quick to forget that he's still only 20. I read late last week in an excellent piece in The Standard by the well-connected Tom Colomossi that Eriksen has been playing for months with a hip injury that was restricting his movement and that now he's back to fitness and free of pain. I'm afraid, same old story. Against Swansea, and particularly against CSKA, we saw a forward-thinking player. Sunday, against a well-drilled defence, we saw nothing other than a couple of well-hit free kicks. Tonight, against shit, he will no doubt run the game. Forgive me for forgetting which analysis said it. I think it was probably Gary Neville. But Sonny was described as a better player without the ball than with it. Need I say more? Had we won Sunday, we would have gone 9 points clear of United, who are sixth, and above City on goal difference into fourth. An opportunity missed, and we seem to have an inexplicable knack of missing opportunities to gain momentum and position. 2 games left before Christmas. Hull at home tonight and Burnley at home on Sunday. Anything less than 6 points would be a disaster. It's Hull indoors tonight under the lights and they are shite. They have a dead ball specialist in Robert Snodgrass and come with 4 of our former players. Michael Dawson, Tom Huddleston, Jake Livermore and Ryan Mason. And all will get a decent welcome. However, they are probably the worst team in our league. I watched them at Middlesbrough last Monday and it was a minor miracle they only lost 1-0. They managed to score 3 at home to Palace on Saturday but also conceded 3. They are very, very ordinary. And I never like to bash a team before we play them because Sod's Law says it will bite me on the arse. But I would be stunned if we didn't prevail and win this tonight. There can simply be no excuses. The Doctor is missing again and I expect some rotation. But whatever the 11 selected by Poch, it has to win the game. And preferably convincingly. That doesn't necessarily mean by a big scoreline. But it does mean I expect a dominant performance from minute one. The new stadium continues to grow into something very exciting. For all my fears, it is beautiful to see it grow week on week. It is now far more than an empty space. Even at ground level, you can begin to see the lower tier of the new North End taking shape. It feels remarkable to think that where I entered the stadium at the Paxton would actually be the new pitch, and that the players now perform in an area that will be reserved for the new single-tier south stand. It still hurts mind, knowing that in a little over 6 months, the lane will be getting pulled down. Now the season is in full swing, it is easy to forget what it represents, but you do start thinking things like, this will be the last time they ever come here. That's not necessarily a mindset when we play a club of the standard of Hull City, but even on Sunday against a side like Burnley, who do have some history, I can bet the old man will remember some of the meetings from the 60s when both clubs had their heyday. For every club we now play, unless we draw them in the FA Cup, their next visit here will be their last. Talking of which, it was nice to get Villa at home in the third round, a proper club with traditions, and they will bring big support and a proper atmosphere. In the Europa, we have drawn the Belgian side Ghent, and I would have handpicked them from the 16 possible opponents if I could have. Limited opponent and a nice easy journey across the channel. A bonus, although the prospect of playing them in a half-empty Wembley is hardly inspiring. Still, we may win there again, as we must tonight. 10:10 PM. Yep, that'll do. Comfortable, no frills, 3-0 win. We don't win games like this against such weak opposition nearly enough as we should. Hull City are really poor, I'm afraid. It felt watching the game that they were giving it absolutely everything in terms of effort, but by the early spells of the second half, they were never a danger. During that period, they so nearly equalised on the counter after Christian looked to be fouled on the edge of their box. That they nearly did so was almost laughable, were it not for the fact that it was due to us taking our foot off the pedal. We have much to improve on this performance, but plenty of pluses to take away. We played with a back three with Eric and Jan either side of Toby, with Victor patrolling ahead. Christian played deep as a central midfielder, to be honest, and this was fine with the ball but not so clever without it. This was 3-4-2-1 with Sissoko to the right of Harry and Dele to the left. It felt quite functional as we found our feet, and it never truly felt as if we were playing with the freedom seen in the wins against Swansea and CSKA. The great strength in us playing three at the back is the width that Danny and Carl give us throughout, and both assisted goals that were almost identical in their creation. The first goal, 15 minutes in, was after patient build-up, and Jan played the ball into space for Danny to gallop onto in behind, and he put it on a plate for Christian to rifle into the roof of net in front of the park lane. Our second, midway through the second period, was after an uneasy spell, and again the execution was similar, this time from the other flank. Eric lofted the ball down the wing for Cole to chase after, and just like with Danny, once either are past their marker, there's simply no catching them. Kyle got to the byline and rolled the ball across goal, where Christian was there again to tap in from a couple of yards. Credit to Christian for arriving in the box at the right time twice. Being creative doesn't always mean the spectacular. Giving us a constant threat at the top end of the pitch is what was required, and although I almost inevitably predicted pre-kickoff that he would have an impact against shit opposition, I'm prepared to play that down for the moment. The important thing was that he was there to have an impact. We need more of this against more shit opposition on Sunday. Christian can also claim an assist for the third. With the crowd willing a hat-trick, his free kick was pushed onto the inside of the post by the flapping David Marshall, and Victor was first on the scene to bury the rebound and complete the scoring. Pleased for Victor that he scored, as this was a lacklustre performance from the big Kenyan, whose passing was erratic and went good often backwards. The goal will hopefully have done his confidence some good, as he has clearly been lacking something recently that wasn't absent in the opening quarter of the season. Decent performances from Moussa Sissoko to build on a decent cameo performance at Old Trafford, and a notable mention for Winksy, who again came on and looked the part. He looks better every time we see him. Plays every pass like he means it, with pace, and almost capped his appearance with what would have been a beautiful goal. Job done. We move on, and that's how it should be against opposition like this. It doesn't have to be spectacular all the time. Just be professional and get it done, especially having played 3 days ago and with another game to come on Sunday. I'll sleep well tonight. Sunday the 18th, 2:10 PM. The nation's eyes will be fixed on City against Arsenal at 4, and it has some of our fans reaching for an analysis of what they want the result to be. There is only one result that matters at 4 today, and that is us beating Burnley. Once, and if that is achieved, we can look at the result at the Etihad, and no matter what it is, we will find a positive. For the record, 10-0 to City suits me fine. The focus is on us. No game for another 10 days after this means there should be no let-up. If we are 5 up after an hour, we should aim for 10, as there will be no next game to worry about. That is not meant as detrimental to Burnley. To the contrary, I would suggest this will be a tougher game than a midweek assignment against Hull. Burnley are a tough nut to crack. They are workmanlike and will set up in a 4-5-1 with 10 men behind the ball, eager to frustrate. These are the games that can be a nightmare for us, and yet it has to be won. Play without intensity and creativity, and like any game in this league, you can come up short. But if we play as we can, we'll win today, so it's a mental challenge as much as a physical one. After beating Swansea 5-0 and Hull 3-0 in the last two in the league at home, it could be easy to assume more of the same today. The two teams' home and away record also suggests one likely result. Win today and we will have accumulated more points at home than any other team this season. We trail Chelsea currently by a point in the home league table. Just a shame we trailed them by 12 away from home after they went 13 points clear of us overall with a typically resolute 1-0 win at Palace yesterday afternoon. Burnley, meanwhile, have so far only taken 1 point on the road, and remarkably, that came at Old Trafford in a 0-0 draw. It's just as well for them that they're picking up wins at home, but that one result at Old Trafford also highlights what can happen on a given day if a team like Burnley defend for their lives. They have a good keeper in Tom Heaton and a coveted centre-half in Michael Keane. Technically, they are not the greatest. They will put a shift in without question. All that being said, you sense we can only trip ourselves up today. No matter if it's three at the back, four at the back, two up front, whatever team we put out should be winning, and our lads must surely know that. Their only focus today, like mine, should be about what happens in our game. And a win today, especially a good win, will leave everyone positive going into this 10-day break we have. 6:15 p.m. I fucking love that guy. That was my roar as I grabbed Dad in the seconds after Danny Rose had belted in our winner. If ever a player deserved to be the match winner, it was Danny today. A wholehearted, never-say-die, lung-busting performance capped by a great goal when I'm pretty sure he was injured. Danny treats every game the same, like it will be his last. You could go to war and win a game with 11 Danny Roses. And his transformation from mistaken-ridden Danny to solid Danny to iconic Danny now sees him genuinely as an ardent fan favourite. We all love that man, and watching him give absolutely every ounce of himself warms the heart. Seeing him storm down the left is one of the notable features of this team and currently one of the best things down at the lane. When I shout, go on, insert name, I know myself I'm probably saying it louder when it's, go on, Danny! The game was far from straightforward, although our performance was dominant enough to suggest the game should have been won much earlier. And I always felt the game would be won, despite not having the lead until Danny slammed us in front with 20 minutes to go. We lined up in a Christmas tree formation. 4-3-2-1, although you could argue it was 4-3-3 or 4-1-2-2-1. Depending on what expert wants to analyse the game, I'm telling you 4-3-2-1 is how we played and it doesn't work. I think it can, but a midfield three of Victor patrolling behind the Doctor and Winksy is going to win nothing but possibly domination of the ball. It's not to criticise any of the three. I just think none are well suited to playing that three. None can open a door. None run beyond the ball, and none are particularly likely to get a goal. I'll kiss my own arse if by the end of the season they have scored 10 goals between the three of them. They have three so far. Put Dele in with either of the other two and it can work, even Christian if the opposition is weak enough, or Moussa Sissoko for his direct running could perhaps bring some variation to the three. As it is, that three, as they were in Monaco, were and will be very static. Still, we won with it, right? And if we are to try and develop a formation, I'm all for doing it on our patch against inferior opposition. I think Burnley will be alright this season. They may this time have enough to stay up and came and gave us a game. They are very direct but play to their strengths and it's not meant as a criticism. We deserved this 2-1 win but are also pleased the game has gone and it was won. There have been and will be many easier games for us to come. Tuesday the 20th, 6:15 p.m. We could have led inside a minute on Sunday. Dele was in the clear after great balls by Danny and Harry had sent him away. The finish was woeful, ballooned high and wide. I was especially pleased it was Dele who drew us level 5 minutes after Ashley Barnes had prodded a scrappy opener for Burnley. It was a well-taken goal, finished neatly with his left foot from Carl's cross. This was typical Dele, arriving in the box with perfect timing to score. He should probably get more like these, and it would be fair to say he has not been at his influential and arrogant best this season. Though this should not be a surprise really, after such an outstanding debut season, followed by the disaster that was England at the Euros. Dele is not 21 until April, yet his impact was such last campaign that it has almost been forgotten that he's of such a youthful age. I've heard plenty of criticism of Dele lately, much justified in his over-exuberance to try and nutmeg his opponent, but we go to be entertained and some of the criticism has been well over the top. He is now specifically targeted by opponents who now know his threat, and even those who have questioned his position in the team must surely know we are always more likely to get a goal with him in the side. There is still much to learn, but also plenty to be admired. For a player who made such a startling transition from League One to title challenger, dips in form have to be accepted. Wednesday the 21st, 5:50 p.m. This feels like a suitable time to take stock of where we are during the season as we sit in the middle of a 10-day break between games. By the dreaded interlull in spring, we are unlikely to have a break this long again until the season is over. Officially, we are two games away from halfway in the league, with Southampton and Watford away to come before the year concludes. We sit on 33 points from 17, 1 point shy of the desired 2 points per game that I'm always looking for as a platform. It's an acceptable return, and we are part of a top six that have pulled clear from the rest of the league. The top six will finish as the top six, and I am as near certain of that as I can be. We are 3 points clear of a rejuvenated United who seems to have found some balance recently. They will not win this league, but could yet prove a major threat to the top four. A point ahead of us are Arsenal, who have imploded in the space for a week in a way that, well, only Arsenal can. They were ahead of Everton and City, but lost both and their supporters turned again. Beautiful timing with such a lengthy period to have to think things over. They do have a very kind fixture list in the coming weeks, so we will do well to keep them within distance. City are 3 points clear of us, but can't defend for Toffee. They won their first six at Canter, but since we turned them over have won six of their last 12. 6 in 13 if you include the game with us. They are the hardest side to judge. They still look the most likely to catch Chelsea. Yet of the four teams above us, they look most vulnerable to those chasing behind. You couldn't call what will happen next. We trail Liverpool in second by 4 points and they are very much looking up rather than behind. Wins and clean sheets at Middlesbrough and Everton mean they are very much in the title race. Like City, they fail to convince defensively, but they are playing the most exciting football in the league, and like Chelsea, the absence of European football clearly gives them an advantage. Chelsea are flying, 11 wins in a row and only 2 conceded in that period since Conte changed to a 3-4-3 formation. We trailed them by 10 points and they've only dropped 7 all season. On January 4th, we will probably need to beat them for the benefit of everyone in the league because they look like they could run away with it currently. Like everyone, they would suddenly become vulnerable if they had injuries to key personnel, and they have not suffered so far. The fitness of key players will have a major impact on where all of the top six finish. Where do I think we will finish? 5th. Possibly 6th if we have a very deep cup run. Can we finish in the top 4? Absolutely. But it is hard to picture that eventuality currently. Chelsea are certainties, Arsenal always make it, and City and Liverpool have a plethora of attacking options. Looking at the competitions, their depth, their spending power, we are the outsider, the bookies expect us to finish 6th, and our standing as a football club currently suggests that is where we should finish. Football, however, is not played on balance sheets, it is played on grass, and if we continue to focus on what we are doing, the top 4 finish is very much achievable. And who knows, if we can gain momentum as we did at this stage last season, then once again, anything could be possible. Friday 23rd, 4:15 p.m. An early finish before a week off for Christmas, so I had enough time to pop down to the lane and top up on some Christmas goodies. I can't say I'm often down the lane when we're not playing, so it was nice to take a couple of pictures of the new build with no crowd around. The high road was eerily quiet and the size of the new stadium is really starting to hit home. I can confirm that the giant blocks put together as one of the major supports of the new site are now higher than the current stadium. The project being undertaken is huge. Inside the stadium on the empty northeast corner, one of those blocks now sits, giving credibility to knocking away some of the current site before it is completely removed by demolition at the season's conclusion. It is truly exciting seeing the new stadium go up. Before our eyes, we can see our future growing, and that is a powerful tool for our supporters. Seeing it rise as quickly as it has is also diluting my fears that we will spend more than a year away from the lane. It is growing at rapid speed, and if the cleanup of the current stadium can be turned around smoothly, then we do look on course to move in during the summer of 2018. What a team we may have then too. We can't spend big, and I know that while this project is being undertaken, so the renewal of contracts for our existing playing staff is critical. Yesterday, Captain Hugo signed on in a new lengthy deal, meaning that of last season's best 11, only Toby and Eric Lamella have not extended their deals. They will do it soon, I'm sure. We've also tied down bright talents like Winksy and Cameron Carter-Vickers, and this is clever work from the club, signalling an intent not to sell. That doesn't mean we won't if we get an amazing offer for someone, but the position of the club to tie down this current squad and let it grow together gives us a great platform to continue to grow, and we go into Christmas a generally happy football club. Wednesday the 28th, 6 p.m, Christmas. I like Christmas because there's always loads of football. It was every chance this Christmas would have been spent in Southampton before our Boxing Day game at St Mary's. Unfortunately, Sky put a spanner in the works and we play tonight, 2 days later than scheduled. It means we go on last, not as the traditionalists would have loved on Boxing Day, but on a Wednesday night, and the pressure has been cranked up. We knew on paper we had the hardest game for this set of fixtures, and it looks to have already been proven with our five competitors all winning and only Arsenal had any struggles in doing so. As per the norm, we have to forget that. We would have expected all five to win, and all five did. Tonight, a victory takes us to 2 points per game with a win, and that's where we want to be. This will be no easy task, mind. I like Southampton. Don't score too many, but defensively very solid and very capable. They are probably currently the best of the rest, and I would probably expect them to finish as such in seventh. We would have taken a point here in years gone by, but our mentality has to be to win, as it should be in every game. But against the other 14 sides in this league, now we have to view anything but a win as a disappointment, even at a tough venue such as this. Only Lamella remains absent, and otherwise we are at full strength with a 10-day break to prepare. Guessing the lineup is foolhardy, and although my hunch is we will play 4-2-3-1, I honestly couldn't tell you. In hindsight, this was the game last year that kicked us on. We'd been beaten at home by Newcastle and drawn the previous two as we headed south a week before Christmas. We started poorly but composed ourselves and came out of a professional 2-0 win with goals from Harry and Dele. A win tonight would not kick us on as such, as we come into this having won the last two, but psychologically it could have a similar effect on the players. Our away record is a concern. No win in the league since Middlesbrough in September, and only two so far. But then you look at the other teams we have played away: Everton, West Brom, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Chelsea and United. It is not a disaster. That said, it's certainly time to amend the trend and put a good away win on the board to set a marker and to breathe confidence into the players and the support. Plus, I feel like it's been bloody ages since I left the pub with a smile on my face. Friday 30th, 4:05 p.m. In hindsight, the game Wednesday was perhaps bigger than I had signified. Yesterday morning on Sky Sports News, it was as if it was the only thing that existed, and I wasn't complaining, by the way. Watching endless repeats of our 4-1 win certainly beat the usual loving the station has with the country's biggest clubs. But then, we are one of those clubs. On a freezing night, my toes were still numb in the pub as we got underway, and they were still numb as we went behind 69 seconds into a header from the in-demand Virgil van Dijk. Another goal conceded, in swinging from the left-hand side, as this was the case at Everton and Middlesbrough. We have a vulnerability defending these particular set pieces. We never got going in the opening stages. They pressed and harried, but from out of nowhere, we were level 20 minutes in. The doctor did well to feed the ball out to Sissoko on the left-hand side, and his cross was deflected and looped where Dele rose to head into the top corner. It was the only place he could score and left Fraser Forster rooted. From there, we controlled the game, and although I heard plenty of grumbles at the break, I was pleased we had wrestled the ascendancy away from the Saints and taken back control. It didn't take long after the break to go in front. Christian's corner from the right was good, but the header from Harry was phenomenal. Pulling away from goal, he managed to leap and control his header while maintaining its flight and pace. Forster got a hand to it, but it was already beyond him. It was an incredibly skilled header, and I was being lifted aloft in the joy of the moment. Soon after, a blistering counter-attack. God, we don't do this enough. And we saw in a moment why we have bought the bumbling Sissoko, who received from Eriksen, ran with it to commit players and played a perfect pass to Dele, who stumbled as he shot wide. Penalty. Dele had stumbled due to Nathan Redmond clipping him, accidentally in my opinion en route. A very harsh red card for a penalty, and the game was there to be won by Harry. What happened next will be replayed for years. As Harry planted his left foot to strike, it lifted the turf and the ball, so when Harry struck it with the right, he was kicking underneath the ball and it flew miles higher than Chris Waddle at Italia 90.
Fortunately, we can look back on it as a comedy moment. We dominated and controlled the final quarter against 10 men, but it wasn't until 5 minutes to go that we secured the victory. Another counter, and Christian tried to pick out sub Sonny with a crossfield ball. He got a flick off Oriol Romeo's head on path, which took it ahead of Sonny and made his choice easy. He drove into the box unchallenged and drilled a left-footed shot into the far corner. Game done and won, but it was a cherry on the Christmas cake to finish them off. Danny won the ball deep in a half and ran, coming inside and beating two effortlessly, before reversing a pass back to Delhi, who settled himself and curled past Forster. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to see Tottenham win away.
The Fantasy Football Show.